It's time to plan for a double and a blank. We browse both Bournemouth and Luton, discuss if triple captain is tempting, and Jules has found the secrets to his success, apparently, talent and planning. Hello and welcome along to the latest FPL pod where, I mean, I do normally enjoy an in-person record. We're all together in our studio in London and it's a bad, bad time for this to happen. Welcome along, Ian Irvine, Sam Bonfield, Julian Laron, Sam.
No, I have nothing to say.
Did you nearly call in sick today?
Honestly, couldn't have been worse time, could it? I'm sick. I need to go home.
Just for some context, this is what's happened this week. Julian Laron has continued his ascent. We'll talk about that in just a moment. It's not about you, firstly, though.
Sorry.
What it is about is that our pod project, Ian, has come all the way down from Manchester.
Especially.
Because it's a special occasion. What's happened, Ian?
It's his birthday.
I'm sorry, Sam. Do you want me to deliver the news,
Sam,
or would you like to do it?
He's ahead of you now.
Shut up, Jules.
Is he ahead of you?
Two points ahead of Sam, and I'm in the league.
Just remind any new listeners where you were when you started coming on the pod at the end of October.
I was 3.4 million. Oh, was it 4.3? I think it's 4.3 million overall. And a long, long way behind you three. I'm still a long, long way behind one of you, but... Sorry, Sam.
Sam,
you've really helped.
Let's be clear. I've really helped.
Yeah.
Really helped.
Sam, and it is only 2 points, so next week could be completely different again.
It's that Arsenal clean sheet that did me.
It was.
That's what sealed the deal, wasn't it?
It was on Sunday. I sent Ian a WhatsApp separate from our group and said, I think you're going to overtake Sam. And he was like, I know. I think the difference will be an Arsenal clean sheet. Mm. And that's what it was. Two points.
If you want to overtake him again, come on the show every week and then we give
Jules
you tips.
Will help you.
Project, you're going to help me?
We can have Project Sam.
Okay, you can help me then. I'll take your advice every
your
week.
Ranking will improve. Like
at this point, I'll point out that I'm also above Sam. You've
been above me for weeks.
Yeah, but and you're catching me up. I think you might be catching me up because you and I haven't been having the best time these guys have. Shall we give a little bit of context to Jules' season?
Let's not be too nice though, Kel. And I did say to you, when I wrote the stuff for you, like it's going to be painful for you.
It says, let's get this out of the way early. But I'm also going to say one thing that Ian and I said before we came in here. It's almost gone so far now that Jules has done so well this season that we almost, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I almost want you to do well now. I'm kind of almost championing you because it's remarkable.
Vamos,
me too. Vamos.
So this is where you currently are, Jules. You are well on your way.
Just don't encourage me, Ian, for goodness sake.
Don't be jealous. I know you're so bitter, all of you.
I know you're trying to talk over me saying this, but let's get this out of the way. Jules, you're on course for your best season ever.
Am I?
By some margin.
By some margin, yeah.
Your previous best was the 2019-20 season. You finished 96,165. Currently, you are 1,796. That's just 90 points last week for the game weeks. That means
how
you took
points?
43%. You got 90.
90,
you know
90
that.
That's 90 people, not 1
Yep, 9. Not 100 though. You can show off if you get 100, not if you get 90. You took 43% off your rank and you're now just 10 points off the top 1,000. This is the bit that got me. If you think of how far behind Ian was when he joined the podcast, well over 100 points, right?
I can't remember.
Way more.
Jules is currently only 114 points.
He has to win it now.
Off the top. Can you win it?
I know.
He has to now.
Like,
you have to.
Like I said, really, it's all about talent and planning.
There's no,
all the spreadsheets I've got at home on my wall, I can't bring them. It's too much. You know, all the time I think about this game, it's incredible. But I'm just glad my strategy is working.
He says with his little bit of paper
my
in
strategy.
Front of him.
Do you want, I can help you with strategy as
they
well.
They can actually see you planning now, by the way, on camera.
This won't make good
actually
audio
make any
either.
Sense.
Game like week 29. Yeah.
But I also took a photo of you and Jules sitting here. I'll put this on social media.
Planning out game week
29
for
Where Jules has just like one... Yeah. Pretty pathetic piece of paper, and that's got the extent of his planning on. So we don't quite know how you've done it.
I mean, to be fair, Sam Bonfield has an iPad, and look where she is in the rankings.
So have I. Same for me.
That piece of paper is so small that it can still fit all the players he's got for game week 29. That's why he needs to have a look at what's going on.
All about planning.
I also just wanted to provide some context because obviously Sam is our expert. Sam's got an incredible career behind her for FPL, and so many other experts in the community that we've had on this podcast do. We can just about put you into that, do you reckon?
I think I'm more of a journalist than an FPL expert,
Me
shall we say, at this point.
I'm not putting myself in that
category. I don't think I can count myself
but the likes of Sam's husband, Lee, Az, Praz, Harry, there's so many of them.
Great
Mark
brains.
Southerns, of course. Yeah. But Jules, you're 124 points ahead of Sam now.
Thank you.
75 ahead of Lee.
Thank
35
you.
35 ahead of the man that we've often called the GOAT of FPL, Mark Southerns.
Thank you.
51 ahead of FPL, Harry.
Thank you.
170.
Thank
ouch,
you.
Poor Az from FPL Black
Box. I mean, he doesn't count anymore.
No, well, I'm ahead of him, so...
Yeah, exactly.
That's part of the reason I put him on the list.
Poor
yeah.
Az.
Well, he's on the list because I needed someone to make me feel
anyway,
better.
Anyway, this isn't about coming for our experts who
no.
put their blood, sweat and tears into it.
You can
Sam
just call
wrote
me
it
an
on my nose.
Now as well if you want. Expert Jules.
Does anyone
Jules
remember last season, My Other Half Max finished in like the top 1,000? He's about 300,000 this year. So it's about whether you can do it for more than
if
one
you
season.
Do it next
he's got to finish there this year first.
Jules, tell us about your game. Yeah. Come on then. It was 90 points.
How many
it was
points?
90.
90 euro people, not 1-9.
Tell us what went well, please.
To be fair, it was a really good week. It could have been even better. I was a bit unlucky with Senesi, who got injured after just 10 minutes in his game, and Bournemouth didn't concede in that game. I have 25 points on the bench because Rodri did so well.
I can't tell you how relieved I was to see Rodri on your bench.
And Bradley as well. But everybody returned apart from Senesi because of the injury. So
all
good.
Three of you had Doughty. You've been hammering me for weeks for not having him. Not one of you had the guts to play him last week. So I loved him finally getting a return and none of you benefited.
I'm ashamed of myself.
Well, I wasn't going to be
your chairperson of the fan club.
Yeah, he's your boy.
He'll be starting this week. There's no doubt about
that's
that.
That's because he's got a double.
Alfie, yeah. If you're watching, mate, get us sorted this week, please. I'm sorry about last
please
week.
Please, can we clip that up for social media? Because that was borderline creepy.
Oh, was that? I only come in one shade.
So a very good game week that could have... You should have played your bench boost.
I know. I mean, to be fair, I had, as always, you have to make decisions on who starts and who stays on the bench. I didn't think that Brightley and Liverpool would do better than Chelsea and Gusto, for example, which was a mistake, but you just never know. It's really Senesi. I'm a bit unlucky. Areola, when he saved that penalty,
I
like shouted in front of the
I
television.
Cried a lot.
It was pretty good. And then Saka also, who was my captain, who was a good pick in the end because he got more points than Haaland, that all of you captained, but he came off at half-time, which I was livid.
As I said in our WhatsApp group at the time,
relief.
I'm a Saka owner, but I was relieved just because
I know
it was
you were.
So much.
But yeah, anyway, a very, very good game week.
Yeah, thank you.
Should we go to Sam before you?
No. Let's go to Ian first.
I'm easy this
I think
week.
The rule is if you have less than 50 points, you should not talk about your game week.
Oh, that's fine but with that's me.
Right, Sam, do you want to whistle stop tour?
Surely
game
not
week
less
went?
Than 50 points. Surely.
You know I did. It was a shocker. Like, I think... So, I bought in Van de Ven, Romero scored. I had KDB, Foden... Went on a riot. I played Martinez. Areola saved the penalty. I benched Palmer. Gross got benched. I had Neto. He was injured. It was just one headache after another, after another. And I only had a single Arsenal defender, as Ian well knows, because that worked really well for him. So, yeah, it was a horrible week. But we all have them and we move.
At least you're on holiday.
The worst thing about this is that I was on my way home from holiday. So not only was it all going
Did you check your team when you landed to see?
So,
I hope not.
So, no. So welcome back to rainy England. So
the rain, the wind and your FPL week.
Welcome
so
home.
I knew. So at one point we were waiting to get on the plane to come home and Spurs were losing. My FPL team was in the mud and I was like, I got to get on a plane for 9 hours and not know what comes off the back of this. And it was awful. Thankfully, before I got on the plane, Spurs were winning and I was like, right, this is going to be all right now. My FPL team didn't get any better, but Spurs won, so that made me
you
feel
can't
better.
Have
can't have everything. No. And game week 28 is going to be better.
What gives you more pleasure? Spurs winning or your FPL team doing well? I've always wondered that.
Spurs winning. I just don't...
The more she digs this hole, the more we're going to have to boot her off this podcast.
Yeah.
Spurs winning happens more regularly at the moment than my team. My team this season just seems to be on a roller coaster. Like, one week it's really good. The next week, it's absolutely in
maybe
the mud.
When you get to a certain age, a bit like the players, you start going down.
You're older than me.
Let's move on.
It's getting personal.
I mean, I'm the youngest if we want to go down that route. Ian, your game week, the game week that saw you overtake Sam was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, history, mate.
No, it was a red arrow and I still overtook
was
Sam.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I made a really
so
bad decision in
what
the transfer.
I did notice your transfer. Yeah, let's get that out of the way.
So, I wanted to do Bowen originally, like I talked about on the pod last week.
I didn't do it either.
I ended up doing Son. But because I'd left it so long to decide and was waiting on information, the price changes meant I was 0.1 away from getting Son.
Oh, that's the worst.
And I was just like, I was just pot committed. I was like, right, no, I'm doing Son. So the way to do that was to take out Dubravka and bring in Kelleher. So actually, the transfers were good. Son got 7, Kelleher got 9. But Dubravka obviously got seven, although I don't think I would have started him. I think I would have started Areola away at Everton.
Well, that would have still been better.
Yeah, I'd have been hugely better. I'd have been 6 points better off if I'd just done Bowen rather than Son and then done Son this week instead with Bowen getting his assist. But 80 points for a minus... 76 points because it was 80 points with a minus four. And yeah, third in the inner circle, which is... biggest boost of the week.
Yeah, Inner Circle is our league. I know there's actually a few people now that listen to this that have found our league and have been keeping across it. So yeah.
They've seen them.
Yeah. Just,
news have reached the masses.
They know who's bottom.
There's no hiding. Just to recap then, Jules is now, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to do some live maths, almost 100 points ahead of me in second in Inner Circle. Ian is only 28 points behind me.
I reckon you're going to Kelly as well this week.
Closing
down. You go with Kelly this week. That'll be ridiculous.
You're on 16.54. I'm on 16.82.
Don't mention mine, Kel. Let's just move on.
You're on 16.52. So only 2 points behind. But yeah, I also ended on a red arrow, but had a pretty good game week. I would have been pretty happy with it had I not seen what everyone else had
done.
It's
just that it was a really high scoring week as well. Yeah. So it was not the week to have a bad week.
Like barely anyone blanked from my team, to be honest. It was Aki and De Bruyne. Oh, and Tony, actually. But yeah, I was reasonably happy and I didn't make a transfer. I've saved a transfer. So I feel like that's quite nice sometimes when you know you've got two transfers this week, might even make three. Also, we don't do this too often, but our producer Jesse got over 100 points.
Yeah. Did he?
I told you 90 is rubbish.
Jules, did you know that?
He got 101 points. So it shows that this podcast having an effect
look
on everyone.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's good.
Francis, who also works on this podcast, is looking sheepish.
Everyone
maybe
returned
his
in Jesse's
so
team
well
this week. Every single player with a return.
Impressive. Yeah. Oh, that's because he's an Arsenal fan, though, and he's very loyal to their players in FPL, isn't
Captain
he?
Captain Sam, though.
Ooh, controversial. Sam is always watching.
I'm always watching.
Always watching. Let's take a look at what the FPL Pod Mini League does then. Amir remains top. He got 78 points. That means he's extended his lead over Itai, who was in second, but he's actually now slipped to third. Shefan's 80 points has seen him go up to second. In fact, Joe Jelly in seventh place was the only one of the top 10 in the league who actually beat Jules.
Hey, 90 points, people. That's 9-0, not 1-9.
Okay, well, you can't really rest on your laurels too much about this. When I came in and I saw Ian and Jules peering over this tiny piece of paper that Jules has, Jules told me he was using his talent to plan and writing these extensive
is
notes
that what you
because,
said?
Of course, you know he didn't
talent
say
talent to plan.
It's all about talent
no, but
and planning.
He keeps saying, doesn't he? He said it in our WhatsApp group when I said talent you're so planning. Jammy. He said talent and planning. It's his favourite.
To be fair,
phrase.
I was not sure what jammy meant. I didn't know with you if it was positive or negative. I just when it's all about talent and planning.
Jammy means lucky.
Nah,
lucky.
There's no luck in this game.
Lucky, like when Son scored late, I was like jammy.
He missed chances before.
Arguably, you've been unlucky this week because Saka should have got miles more
Hold
points.
On.
The
25
bench,
points.
The bench as
My
well.
My brother, come back anytime.
Where's this? I don't like this. He's.
Is it in his
sorry.
Last week? Can we get rid?
No, basically, Jules is doing so well now
what
that
I, said,
I can't wish for him to fail.
It's what I said. We did have
terrible.
A conversation about this, so, but I refuse to go on record.
He reflects
it.
Well on all of us, in my opinion. Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah. I'm a grand ambassador for this
show. Anyway, the reason Jules is planning.
Well, I won't be here next week, like you said, so it's fine.
The reason Jules is planning so profusely is because, of
Sarah
course.
Sarah from Canterbury will be gutted, by the way. But still.
Thank you to Sarah from Canterbury. Jules.
Thank you.
Otherwise known as Ian's mum, who's left.
No, it's my auntie who's moved to Canterbury.
saying that we should keep Ian. I'm sure he'll keep coming back. He's like a bad smell. We can't quite go. The reason that Jules is having to plan so much is to ensure that he keeps up this incredible season. Means that he needs to do well in 28, which is, of course, a double. Yeah. And then in game week 29, which we are all dreading because it's a blank. And of course, Jules has used his free hit. Yeah. Look, when we last spoke about this, Sam, we talked about kind of navigating these two game weeks as a pair, looking ahead at them. Because everything that you make a transfer for this week and even last week has to kind of come into your thinking with 29 as well. Are you still looking at them as two or are you looking at them as two separate game weeks?
I think it depends if you've got your free hit or not. If you've not got your free hit, Jules, then you have to look at them together because you can't just go all in on what's going to happen in the double in 28 because you need your team to still work for game week 29. If you're free hitting in 29, then you can look at them as two entirely separate things and you can look at 28 with a view to then also 30 and look at the teams that have got good fixtures here and then without the blank. So it's going to be very team dependent, depending upon strategy. And I think there's going to be a lot of people out there, myself included, that haven't actually fully decided exactly what it is that the strategy is going to look like for managing the blank.
Mm. Ian looks pensive because I know he hasn't quite worked out his
strategy. Decided, no. And I think my transfer this week will be bringing in a player who plays in game week 29 so I can delay the decision one more week again. Yeah. Although I actually think, I was looking at it earlier on today, I think Dominic Solanke could be the key to making the decision about whether you can navigate through without using your free hit in 29. Because if you're coming into this game week and you don't own Dominic Solanke for
like
a double game week, game week 28, I do.
Yeah.
If I didn't, I think I would definitely free hit in 29. I think I'd be bringing in Solanke this week, potentially captaining him for those fixtures against Sheffield United and against Luton. And I think that would then decide whether I was doing free hit or not. I own him, so I'm still undecided. But if I didn't, I think that would definitely mean that was free hitting. Because, of course, if you bring in Dominic Solanke for game week 28, he blanks in 29. And that's basically sort of harming yourself for that game week. So I think he could well hold the key to making that decision finally.
How key was that team news, of course? Because we didn't know if he was going to play last game week. And I've said it on the podcast a million times, I'd never wish an injury on a player. And I love watching Dominic Solanke, but I thought, well, at least if he's not fit for the double, it's one less headache for non-owners like myself to have. But we do have that headache. Do you have it as well, Jules, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's pretty simple. I can't bring him in for the double because he blanks in game week 29 and I have to dead-end my team to at least have 8 players with a minus 8 to play in 29.
You can have 8 with a minus 8?
Yeah. That's why I played.
All of a sudden, this planning is not looking so great.
No, but that's why I played the free early because I wanted the points already on the board to be ahead, so I can take the minus 8, and hopefully that doesn't hurt my ranking too much, especially if next week is okay. So that's the only reason. But that means, I won't have 11 players for the blank game week 29.
I don't think many. I think loads of people won't have 11 for the 29.
Unless you play your free hit. This is what we were talking about last week. So if it's like you versus Jules, for example, so you're in a situation where you do have your free hit and you're coming up against someone in your mini league who's already used theirs and they're only going to get to 7 or 8 players with a minus 8, that's 8 points for the hit that they've taken. Mm. You're then going to field 11 rather than fielding maybe 8 players. So even in just appearance points, you're in double figures in terms of your benefit against them before anyone's even returned additionally. So you nail the picks, you nail your captain. You can maybe cover someone who's playing a free hit, but if you don't, you're leaving yourself susceptible to mini league rivals catching you quite easily.
Makes a lot of sense. Just to clarify what you're going to do then. So you've already got Dominic Solanke and you're going to build whatever transfers you make this week and next are just with 29 in mind.
I think so, yeah.
I'm trying to push you into a decision, aren't
I? and I don't think I'll make one because I think my move this week is to bring in Jared Bowen, who plays in 29 and has got Burnley this week. So he's a good pick for 28 and 29. He'd be one of the single game week players that I'd be recommending people to look at. But he also allows me to delay the decision until actually game week 29, whether I'm going to play that free hit or not. Because I brought in Son for the same reason last week. So I'm going to end up with probably about 8.
That was my next question.
With a minus 4 at some point, whether that's this week or next week.
If I don't do Dominic Solanke, I can get to 8 with a minus 4 this week. But it feels scary to go into this week without Dominic Solanke.
Keep your free hit for the double game weeks coming.
I love an exciting double.
I wrote down, so the advantages of playing free hit in 29, it means you can just play the game week ahead. It's a double game week 28. You can load up on your Bournemouth players. You can even target some of the single game weekers who don't play in game week 29 and have got a good fixture like the inform Arsenal players, whether that's going for the attack or the defenders at the moment, they're really good. The disadvantage is how high do you think the 29 ceiling is going to be? What's the maximum score going to be?
I'm just not that inspired.
If you really do it. But there's no hits involved if you play your free hit in 29.
You're already minus 8 at least ahead of most of the game.
That's it, exactly. And also as well, you're then looking at, well, what's 34 going to look like? Because people are talking about 34 being a good opportunity to play your free hit, but we don't got the certainty of who's going to be playing in 34. We think it's going to be a double game week, but we don't know exactly, who's going to be involved. So the more I look into it, the more I think I should free hit in 29.
Sam's making a mischievous face. I think Sam's going to free hit.
I think I'm going to free hit.
She's so bad in the rankings.
Just don't rise to it. That's what I'm doing. I'm ignoring him.
Rise is exactly what she needs to do. Sorry, Sam.
Oh, I'm expecting it from him.
Open goal.
Sam, tell us about your bringing it.
So I was fully intending to play through 29 and dead end my team with a minus eight. That would have got me 10 players. However, I think that there is a real opportunity now. And I think because my team did so badly last week, and I'm going to do what Ian's doing. I'm going to make a transfer this week that allows me to make the decision next week, because when you've had a terrible week, the last thing you want to do is rip up all the plans that you've made and go, I'm doing something different.
Definitely.
Because it's reactive then, rather than being actually the right thing to do. So I will make a transfer this week because I'll get burnt otherwise next week if I do free hit.
Are you a Dominic Solanke owner?
Yes. Yeah, so I've got him as a captain.
She's really worried about not owning Solanke,
by the way.
I was worried anyway, and now your little spiel's made me even more worried. Yeah.
But I just think that, so game week 34 was my original intended free hit week, because there will be blanks because of the FA Cup. There's likely to be doubles because there's no European football that week, so there's likely to be fixtures that go back in there. There will also be single game weeks, because even if the teams that are in the FA Cup, they could go into the midweek. So it all can kind of work itself out, but in reality, if I wildcard just ahead of that in game week 33, so if I delay my wildcard from 30, because whatever I do now for the free hit team, my team looks really nice for 30 and 31 anyway. So if I wildcarded in 32 or 33, I could build a team that's really good for 34 anyway. So really then, could I give myself an advantage in 29, because you say that there's a limited pool of players, and there is, but there's also a lot of really nice differentials in there that other managers won't have gone to and can't get a full team out with. So if I can fill a team with a full bench as well, in case anybody misses out, I'm already going to be three players ahead of Jules in that week. Yeah. It only takes a couple of them to do really well. And then with the wild card, I can make sure that my team covers me nicely for 34 and it still gives me the bench boost in 37. So I'm starting to feel like the free hit in 29 is the right thing to do, because it's points on the board right now rather than potential ones in the future.
Well, you know what I'm like with leaving all my chips really late.
You'll leave it till the end.
I think
anyway.
It just unnerves me, the thought that I'll have used my triple captain.
I know.
And my free hit by game week 30.
You won't be alone though.
No.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Even on this table, you won't be alone, will you?
Well, we're all very, very different in our positions. Yeah. I'm, as per usual, Sam, probably most in the same corner as you. I don't want to use my free hit, but I think I'll probably have to, because also I don't have any Spurs. And looking at that week, there's plenty of opportunity for Spurs to get points. And the players that do look like they could get points that week, I currently don't own.
No, exactly. Like, I don't have any West Ham players.
I have got Brentford, actually. So
yeah, see, I don't have Tony. And so this is another big thing for me, is that I have Solanke, so that's great for this week. But then I'd want to swap him for Tony for game week 29. But then I'd want to swap him back again for game week 30, which makes absolutely no sense at all, because I'd rather have Solanke.
Jules needs to take out Erling Haaland.
Oh, yeah. Stop it.
For game week 29, well, if he's playing Tony.
For who?
For a Tony or even Carlton Morris.
But then you're going to want Haaland back in. Yeah. So again. So this is the other thing to consider. It might be a minus eight just to play 29.
I'm just laughing because Ian knows Jules' team now so well. He's telling us about Jules' headaches.
Well, we were talking about it before.
Because he sat there for
planning
half an
together.
Hour
because
they've been listening right on this little scrap bit of
paper. I share
paper.
My tips. That's why he's doing so well.
Why don't you get an actual notebook?
That's why he's doing so well. I share my tips with
Ian,
him.
Ian, are you going to try and take credit if Jules does really well now? You're going to take it as assistant manager, Ian.
It was a good discussion we had, because I think a lot of people would be exactly like us going over.
Why don't we have the discussion? I mean, Jules, when I looked on the train on the way down, has got four players.
Hold on a sec. You did it on the train on the way down.
Yeah.
I had a look at Jules' team. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Did he ask you to?
No.
No.
Oh, I thought you meant he'd like you were already colluding. No.
That would have made my day if Jules had asked him.
200 points ahead of me. He's not going
to
be asking me to do a little spreadsheet on his team.
I know.
But yeah, he's got four players currently set up for game week 29. Obviously, you take the minus eight like you talked about. That's four more. So that means you've got eight players playing. But then I was looking at his front line. So he owns Ollie Watkins already, who he'll want to keep. He's got Darwin Nunez, who maybe...
It's no longer Darwin time.
It could not be Darwin time officially.
Again, since I have him, he's been on fire.
Yeah, but it won't be in 29.
I know, it won't be on 29. I give him a rest. He needs a rest. He's been a bit injured.
No, but my point is that you're going to take a minus eight for 29. But you're taking out players that you would want post 29. So then you're being minus eighting or wildcarding straight after.
Oh, no, I'm wildcarding again. You don't dead end and don't wildcard after.
No, exactly.
That. And so you can wildcard and be ready for 34.
You can.
Already, because of the planning. Talent and planning.
This podcast is just going to be called Talent and Planning, isn't it? There you go, guys. I've sorted you out.
This is the strategy. You see all the planning there. Dead end. Then you play your wild card.
I think it also depends which players you've got. So I need to seriously sit down, like you have, with a bigger bit of paper.
Bigger one than that.
Because the players that a lot of people will go for, Watkins and Tony, I've already got those two. So I'm like, what players would I be bringing in on my free hit? Yeah. What players am I missing to make me justify
bringing
in that free hit?
For you, it'll be the Spurs assets, the West Ham assets. But then I'm like,
well, maybe I've already got Watkins, Tony, Moreno. Do Burnley play?
Yeah.
Charlie Taylor.
So they're my four. But my big issue is the Dominic Solanke thing. Yeah. Because you can't go into this game without him, can you, Sam?
I wouldn't want to, no, because I think he's the obvious captaincy pick. I think if you've still got your triple captain, it's the obvious week to play that. I personally think that when I look at the single game week teams as well, they've got hard fixtures. Like the ones that you'd normally go to for the captaincy, Haaland, difficult game. There's no Salah at the moment. Saka has got a reasonably difficult game, although I'd still bank on him
for this
to do
week.
Something. Yeah, I mean, I think it's home to Brentford. Yeah, I think that's still, it's not going to be as easy as Sheffield United were, but I think, well, nobody is, but I still think that that's a difficult single, like that's not the easiest of fixtures. It's not like it's a really no-brainer pick.
It's at home though, so for me, that is what gives me.
Watkins and Son have each other. That's going to be a high-scoring game, I would predict, but I wouldn't necessarily want to captain anyone out of that game either. But then I look at Solanke with those two double game week fixtures, like they don't get much better than that in terms of...
It's the worst defence in the league and it's the third worst defence in the league. 126 goals they've conceded between them in the Premier League this season and kept just three clean sheets.
Kelly's getting more and more upset by this.
No, I know I have to bring him in. I know I have to bring him in. I've made peace with that.
You're free hitting then. You're not bringing him in this week and not free hit.
If you bring Solanke in this week, you basically have to free hit because you don't want to sell him again for the week after because you want Solanke from 30 onwards. So you can't do the hokey cokey with Tony, which is what Jules will potentially
can
afford.
But
it's going to cost you points. If you want, but
it's a waste of transfers and it's going to cost you points.
The thing is with Bournemouth as well, it's difficult to cover them. You talk about coverage sometimes, don't we?
Yeah,
where
we
pick a midfielder or another forward maybe who sort of helps you to bridge the gap if you think that Solanke's going to do well and you can't get there for whatever reason. But if you bring in another Bournemouth player, you're going to have exactly the same issue.
You're still going to want to have Solanke.
So you just, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any Bournemouth at the moment either. I don't have any doublers for this week. Of course, a reminder.
You've got nobody doubling?
No, nobody.
Oh yeah, because you don't have any Luton,
maybe
you
should free it this week.
I'm not free hitting for Bournemouth and Luton. Like two teams.
I thought Bournemouth was close to your heart.
Bournemouth are close to my heart.
You love them. You keep going on about
Bournemouth are close to my heart, yes, but I'm not free hitting for two teams.
No, I don't think you free hit this week, but I do think if you target Luton, it's fine. You can get away with that because they play the week after. But if you target Bournemouth this week, you kind of put yourself in a position where you have to free hit if you've got it.
Let's talk a little bit more about Bournemouth and Luton and the two teams that are doubling. We've discussed Solanke. He's borderline must have for this week.
Yeah. No, if you can, for sure.
The one thing I would say is that we're talking about him like he's 90% owned.
Yeah.
He's not. He's owned by 25% of the game.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's...
Well, he might not be fully fit either, right?
Well, he's got his niggly knee injury that he's been talking about. He says he's going to be fine. I think he will be. He played at the weekend. But nonetheless, it's still there and he might not get the full 90 minutes in both the games. But he's not... It's not Erling Haaland levels of ownership. So if you don't have him, yes, it might hurt a bit in terms of your mini leagues, but it won't hurt that much in terms of
overall
rank.
It's called one in the last five.
Okay.
And you were talking about Calvin Morris and off the bench this week as well.
Was.
And the stats are incredible,
listened?
Aren't they?
Yeah.
On the train on the way down, a lot of work
you
done on that train.
On the train. Oh, yeah.
Good job we brought him down from Manchester. He could actually prep.
Yeah.
Not that you don't normally.
Thanks, Kelly.
Morris is another really nice option as well, isn't he, for this game week, Ian?
Yeah, he is. He is a good option for this game week. What was the stat? He was like one of the most informed forwards.
Yeah, so since game week 19, he's returned 54 points, only blanking in two matches. In fact, only Watkins, Muniz from Fulham and Haaland are in better form than he is. So I think, he's a great option. A lot of people will struggle to get him as well. He will be a real struggle for a lot of people to get.
So it could be a really good differential.
You've got Watkins, you've got like my front three, Watkins, Solanke, Haaland. I'm not going to sell any of them this week.
Maybe that's the way you do it. Maybe you bring in Carlton Morris rather than Solanke.
Yeah.
So you don't have to free hit in 29 because he plays twice this week and he plays in 29. And then you can keep Haaland and Watkins either side of him.
Ian's so nice, isn't he? Helping us with both of our teams.
Yeah, but we discussed that earlier.
Well, it's not just you.
Because...
It's anyone who's listening to this who might be in this situation, right?
If you're dead-ending your team... like me, and then play your wild cards, and you take Darwin off, for example, then Morris has three games, basically.
Can I just point out
one.
Who I have to take out this week to do that? Haaland.
Who?
You have to sell Haaland to do it.
Yeah, because you've got
Watkins and Tony.
Watkins and Tony. All of a sudden, Ian's like, okay, maybe you shouldn't do that.
In 29,
but then when's your wild card plan? 30. So if you're wild carding in 30, then you'd only have to get through one game without Haaland.
Liverpool away.
Which isn't horrendous.
Still blooming up on this wall.
Well, it's stressful.
Still horrible, though, watching a game without Haaland.
I mean, it is really stressful, but it's only one game. And so if you couldn't get through it, then and because you're wildcarding straight away, it's possible.
His effective ownership won't be as high this week either. There'll still be a lot of people who captain him because he is, you know, a popular option every single week, given his abilities and given his track record as well. But there won't be as many people captaining him this week. I still wouldn't want to go without him, in fairness.
So you gave me a bit of advice and then you retracted it.
He's in the top 10 most transferred out, Kel, this week.
Same.
Yeah, wow. I just looked at it while you were talking then.
That doesn't happen too often, does it?
No. So he's been transferred out so far.
Not when he's fit. That will have never happened, I don't think.
No. So this week he's been transferred out by over 74,000 managers already. Wow. And it's actually been quite a low transfer out week. Only Trippier is really, and Trippier and Richarlison, because they're injured, are majorly moving. De Bruyne really heavily transferred out as well.
Okay, so obviously people are targeting in on Bournemouth and Luton. If you aren't going to go for a Solanke or a Morris, other options from Bournemouth, Jules, who would you suggest?
Well, I think there's defensively. I think when they have two games like that, again, we talked about how bad defensively Sheffield United and Luton are, but offensively, Sheffield United especially, are not very good. So you could go for Kerkez, the left back at Bournemouth, who's done really well. It's a Barney. A centre back, Senesi, as we said, there's a question mark because he's doubtful, obviously, after his injury last week. Adam Smith, you can even go for Neto in goal. If you fancy it. So I think defensively, there's also some really good options in terms of Bournemouth.
The issue with them, they're just defensive options. I don't know how much attacking return there is the potential for. Senesi was the one.
Senesi was the one.
I was going to say, what a blow that is.
Pieces, who had the threat from set pieces and was really good. I mean, Zabani, I was looking at his combined XG for the season. He's played every single second for Bournemouth in the Premier League so far. So we've gone through, 26 game weeks, I think he's featured in. And his XG combined for all of those matches put
together. It's not going to be good, is it?
It's 0.48.
Yeah, not a goal scorer.
So you're not going to get a goal from him, are you?
It's very unlikely.
But the good thing about going for a Bournemouth defender is the fixtures are really nice, almost right up to the end of the season. And because they're cheap, in the difficult games that they have got, like there's some difficult ones in there in 34 against Villa and in 36 against Arsenal, but you could just bench them in those two matches and then have them for the other nice fixtures because the clean sheets look likely. So again, when you're looking at really cheap defenders, how much are you really looking at their attacking potential? I mean, obviously, if there is a cheap asset, then you would go with them because they have the additional attacking threat as well. But actually, if they're cheap and they just get the defensive clean sheets, then that's actually fine.
Yeah, it's probably okay, yeah.
So,
and it's hard, the attackers at Bournemouth as well. You know, we've talked about Solanke clearly, but then for those other attacking positions, there's Utara, there's Sinisterra, there's Alex Scott, there's Tavernier, there's Cliver, there's Semenyo. There's so many different options. I mean, Cliver, I've seen mentioned, considering he got the goal against Burnley in the last game week. He's only 0.6% owned, so he'd be a huge differential. And he's only 4.6 million as well as a midfielder. He's got two goals in his last eight game weeks, but he's not completed 90 minutes all season.
No.
If you want someone who's going to definitely start both those games and maximise how many minutes you're going to get on the pitch, he's probably not the way to go. But then again, who is?
As we mentioned, Luton might be a better option, particularly if you're not looking to play your free hit chip in 29. Carlton Morris, we've already established that he would probably be their standout option. If not, I'm so pleased that we've got three members of the Doughty fan club in attendance today.
Doughty family even, I think.
Yeah, well, such a good family that you ditched him last week. You're all going to be starting him, aren't you? And this is part of the reason you brought him in, Sam, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, had him for the double in 25. Yeah. Have him for the double again in 28. Like, this is why we brought him in all those weeks ago. When we were having a go at you for not, like, we brought him in because he had two double
Part
game
of me
weeks.
Wishes I had now because I'd have another player for 29. So,
yeah, but
he's. You'd have at least made my prediction come true, like I said before, that we would all end up being Doughty owners at some point.
I think there's
this
also
season.
Part of me that's trying not to buy him for that reason.
Oh, thanks,
the thing is, the other thing with having a Luton defender, if you sort the fixture ticker by defence and you remove the blank game week, Luton is second behind Bournemouth.
Are they?
Yeah. Okay. So take away the blank and you've got quite a nice set of fixtures. Now, I'm not saying that you would want to necessarily play him every week, but he's so cheap that I can't see why you wouldn't have him, even if he sits on your bench for the rest of the games of the season. Like, he just feels like one of those assets that might pick up an assist here or there on your bench, sure. But actually, in the fixtures that he's got coming up, there is potential there for clean sheets for him. So I really like him. If you want to go different, then, or you've got the budget, because he has actually gone up a little bit. I think he's 4.3 7 now. Yeah, yes. So if you need to go cheaper, then you go for Burke instead. The returns aren't that different, to be honest, between the two of them. I had a look in the last 6. Doughty has the most returns. He's got 3. Burke's just behind with 2. Bell, Doughty, and Kaminsky, they've started all the 6 games. Like, there's not a huge amount of difference between the Luton defenders, to be honest. So if it's a budget limitation thing, and particularly if you're not going to wildcard at some point soon and you need to plan for Salah, then maybe you do want to save the budget on the Luton defender and just go for the really cheap option.
Any other options from Luton?
I mean, Ross Barkley, we mentioned him before. I think he was one of your differential. I think he's a good option because he's at the heart of everything they do with the ball. So the ball will come a lot to him. He will get bonus points potentially. He's a very good striker of the ball, so he could also score. I think he's a stretch a little bit more than Morris and Doughty, who I think are the two most likely Luton players to return.
He has Barkley's created 19 chances though, more than any other Luton player in the last 6.
So another nice option if you want to go a bit different, I guess. And if maybe you just want a 1 week punt or something.
The 5th midfielder spot is quite up for grabs, right? So you could go for Ross Barkley now. You could swap him out for a Garnacho or somebody a bit later on down the line when we know when the other doubles are going. Like, there's plenty of potential to swap around. Like, if you have that 5th spot free and you're not have somebody in there that you're wed to, like I've got Neto at the moment. If injured, then it could easily be a Barkley for a few weeks.
Yeah, I imagine there's a few people. I've still got Jota because I was deciding on a replacement there. So maybe could be a replacement there. Who knows what I'm going to do with my team. On to the single game week players then. As Sam mentioned before, a lot of the players this week, the popular players, don't have the easiest fixtures, do they? And actually, when I look through my team, I don't love any of the fixtures that my players have got.
No, I agree. Like, one of the players, so my original plan this week was to bring in Son. As soon as the Richarlison news dropped, I was like, oh.
Bringing in Son was a no-brainer,
I need
it?
Son.
Yeah.
Because he's going to play in the number 9. And then I thought back to the game against Villa at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium earlier on in the season where he scored 3 goals. They were all offside because he kept breaking the...
Yeah, I remember it well.
Ian, very well. And I think, you know, he's a really nice option this week. Whether he stays onside or not remains to be seen. But we do know he'll play in the number 9. While Richarlison's out, that's where he's going to be. And from that central position, he's always going to get opportunities. So he's a good option. But again, I don't love the fixture for him. Bowen is probably the one that's got the nicest fixture. And with Paquetá and Kudos back, he just looked like a totally different player again in the last couple of weeks. So I think he's the one, of all of the single game week players, he's the one I don't have that I would really...
Agree, Jules?
Yeah, I agree. I think, and especially Bowen plays in game week 29, so already the status has changed, because if you don't free here, it's the one player. We said there's not many stars who are going to play in game week 29 because of the teams that are involved on that game week, and he's definitely a must-have, absolutely, whether you're free hitting or not.
Well, you want him, don't you?
Jared Bowen?
Yeah,
he's my transfer, definitely.
Yeah. Is he though?
But I said this last week, right?
That's why I was looking
turning
at you.
Into Jules, say one thing, do another. The fixture's really nice, isn't it? Burnley at home. He plays in 29. Again, if you're thinking of free hitting, then maybe you could look at an Arsenal asset. I mean, their returns in the last few weeks have been absolutely incredible. Martin Ødegaard is what, 3 double-digit returns in the last 4. Kai Havertz is 3 double-digit returns in the last 3. They're both midfielders. They're both not that highly owned either, and they're not that expensive. 8.5 million for Ødegaard, 7.1 for Havertz. The defenders as well. I mean, I'm doubled up with Saliba and Gabriel at the moment, but the fullbacks put their hands up, didn't they, in that Sheffield United game?
Well, everyone put their hands up in that.
Well, apart from Jorginho. Double defence or double attack looks good for Arsenal. If you're free hitting in 29, you can just forget about that. The fixtures either side, apart from maybe that Manchester City game, lend themselves to doubling up on the Arsenal defence, because they keep clean sheets and not many other teams do, but the attack is looking so good that if it's a short-term punt over the next couple, even if you're playing your free hit, then maybe Ødegaard is the way to go. They've just been so good at Arsenal that it feels like you're missing out if you're not tripled up.
The other thing is, if you don't have Watkins, because he's only owned by 56% of the game, he's playing, which is mad to me. He's playing against a Spurs defence that don't defend most of the time because they're busy attacking.
Like, I didn't even consider him. I didn't realise he was so lowly owned.
Yeah.
I know it's over half the game.
It's mad,
but still,
though,
isn't
it? Because you just expect Watkins to be in everyone's team. So actually, if you captain him, which you could do, if you don't have Solanke, you could captain Watkins against that Spurs defence. You absolutely could. He's the highest scoring player in the game right now. And it's his best ever FPL season, full stop. He's already beaten his best total ever. So... we've got what, another 11 game weeks to go. So he's doing incredible things right now. And I, you know, I sit here as a Spurs fan and say, I think he'll score against us. He absolutely will. I'm convinced of that because he's really good. And I think there are options there in the single game weekers. And like, I'd be more worried about not having him than I would Solanke.
Interesting.
Really?
Okay. I would, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think he could go really massive.
He's on a roll as well. Yeah. Yeah, he's been.
I suppose with 25% ownership with Solanke, you can't take the risk of not owning
it's
it.
It's not going to hurt.
It'll hurt against the people who have him as captain and he
It'll
does really
Kelly
well.
It'll hurt Kelly in the mini league, not having him.
Maybe.
Against
if,
you and
if
I,
he well,
if he does
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
But actually, in the overall rankings, not having Watkins would be more painful, but actually still having him is still going to get you a rank rise.
Imagine if we end up above Kelly after all the grief she's given you.
Can you
next
say
week,
something?
By the way.
The thing is, like this is completely feasible.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say too much.
I'm getting cocky now. I'm only two players. I'm probably
going
to finish
arrogant.
Bottom of this
Calm
mini
down.
League. I'm
no,
very
no,
aware
no.
of it.
Jules will.
No, Sam will.
I can't imagine if that happened. Let's move on. I think it's a good time to. Differential of the week. Okay, so actually, Sam, don't roll your eyes. It was. I mean, you had the worst week of the three differentials,
yeah, but
you still
remember,
had a return.
Can we just remember?
You wanted to pick Jules' differential of Havertz.
It was my pick.
And you'd only done one. You didn't have a backup. You just
well, yeah,
one.
Let's just remind
backups.
People then. Jules went for Havertz. Sam also tried to go for Havertz. There you go.
I picked him first.
It's a
14 points
for
with a goal, assist, clean sheet point and three bonus. Have you noticed that after a while I just talk over them?
Yeah.
Sam, as her backup, went for James Maddison, who got 5 points
not
with an assist.
Not bad.
Ian went for Semenyo, who got 7 points with a goal and two bonus. So we're on a bit of a roll, a very small roll.
It was nice to make the spreadsheet all green this week.
It's been a while, hasn't
it? It's been a while since we've all had a.
I don't think that's ever happened when I've been on with you.
It used to at the start of the season. It was both quite good at doing it. But
I think I've got three in a row now.
Well
three
done.
Returns in a row.
Come on then. Me who's going to be your fourth return?
Tahith Chong.
What a spreadsheet.
I love the confidence.
Yeah,
normally Ian doesn't do this. We normally get like a
speed
build up.
The resume is coming. The resume is coming.
Mix it up because we're in the studio. 4.7 million, 0.2% owned. He started the last few for Luton and looked all right. One goal and two assists in his last three game weeks for 17 points. I just think he is the best Luton midfielder to own for this double game week. I know we talked about Ross Barkley before. Mm. But Chong just looks like he's got more threat. I think there's some set pieces maybe in there as well. So I like Chong.
You've been clever there because you didn't mention him in the Luton section, so you could give him the big sell in the differentials. Sam, what about you then?
Oh, let's stick with Luton because, you know, why not? Carter Morris is going to be mine. 6.9% owned. We've talked a lot about him already. Yeah, but, you know, since he's come back into the starting 11 in game week 22, he's had four goals and two assists. He's got 39 points, which is exactly the same as Erling Haaland, who cost you significantly more of your FPL budget. And in the last six, he's got 15 attempts on goal, nine chances created, and that's the third best amongst the forwards, those nine chances created. So looking like a decent option.
He is a form option, that's the thing. Yeah. If you're going against Solanke and going for Morris, it's not like it's a
don't
complete
tempt me.
Shot
I can't
in the
do Erling Haaland for Carl
Surely
Morris,
can
I?
They've scored exactly the same number of points, so
I'm tempted.
Yeah.
So is Jules.
I'm going to grab a bag of popcorn if you do that, by the way, to sit down and watch those.
You and I
are
just going to be waiting.
I'll put a camera on me watching all of those games as well. It won't be pretty. Come on, Jules, who you got?
I'm going for Rodrigo Muniz from Fulham, who've scored five goals in his last five Premier League games. I mean, five goals that he scored all season. So he's the most informed player or most informed striker in the league. Also one assist in those last five games. I mean, he's super efficient. So I don't know how long it will last because the five goals came with 3.2 XG, the one they scored at the weekend was 0.08 XG, so he should have never scored it. But he did. He did. That's the most important. He gets a lot of touches in the box, over 7 per 90 minutes this season. So he's good. His shot accuracy is very good. He's owned by 2.6% of the players.
Who's given you these notes? This is the most homework you've ever done.
No, it's talent and planning and hard work.
Because now, see, the thing is, Kel, in the past,
million,
when he was doing badly,
he hasn't finished,
he didn't
sorry.
Have to worry. But now he's doing well.
No way.
You see, now he has
doing like this.
To. No.
This is why I'm so good.
It's amazing
because of
how
all
much
the
you
research.
Can fit on that little bit of paper.
The talent and planning.
I don't understand why he's got a book.
The novel that he's going to release for next season, Talent and Planning, needs to have the backup of good differentials.
I've been offered
as well,
to my own FPL show next season. I'm not sure if I might invite you now and again. I mean, Sam, I'm not sure about you.
You won't be coming on mine in the end.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so we've.
Moonies,
Okay. Brilliant. Well, we'll see how those are. Get on then. On to the captaincy, Jules. We'll get yours out of the way first. Oh, let me guess. You don't know.
I don't know, to be fair. Saka? I like Saka. Yeah, I like Saka at home. I thought you were quite harsh with the difficulty of that fixture. I mean, he might finish.
He might still be sick.
Yeah, yeah. He might still be sick or something. But I like Saka at home against Brentford.
Sam?
Solanke. I think it's the, yeah, like, if you've got Solanke,
double game week,
the nicest double game week you can get, pretty much. Sure. I think if you have him, it's a bit of an
ask
no-brainer.
Him for a friend. If you bring in Carlton Morris, would you captain him?
Yeah.
I'll let my friend know. Ian?
Would you not? Why did you just look at me like that?
Yeah.
If you've got a double game weeker with nice striker fixtures and they're the forward in that, the informed forward, you give them the armband.
It was more that how much we're like encouraging
we're in our heads.
Kelly to
we've got in our brain.
Oh, I don't know if you know, but this podcast is actually probably the reason I don't do very well.
I come closer to you.
People get in my head and then I've always described myself as an FPL sheep. And honestly, the more advice and the more opinions I get, the worse it gets, because I just can't, like sieve them out. I just have them all here and then, people get in my head. And that's why, like, I text people like Sam at 10:59 before I'm about to make a decision, because I need someone to go, yes, do it, or no, don't do it.
Morris is a 10:58 transfer for Kelly on Saturday.
Please just 100%. Turn your phone off.
I'll be on Sky.
You won't be able to speak to me.
You replied to me last time when you were on
there. Yeah, because I literally had my phone in my pocket and it was going, brr, 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 and I was like, who is texting me? And
Kelly.
Then I thought, it's only going to be Kelly.
The thing is,
I was in Tesco car park.
Oh, yeah. The contrast between
my daughter
two
needed some nappies quite urgently and I was sitting there doing my transfer.
I mean, you know, priorities. You've got to do what you got to do on a Saturday morning, right? I kind of agree in a way. I mean, you know, it's a gamble,
don't agree
of course
with me, I'm having a terrible season.
Well, it's a gamble, isn't it? You know, in some ways, even Solanke is a left field choice considering he's only 25% owned. He's got a bit
but
of a
what
fitness.
Are we differential? Like, for me,
I agree.
And you, we're not happy with our rank. We want to keep going. Picking somebody that's 25% owned and captaining them, that is massive.
But also, we're saying 25% owned. He's going to be
more than that, yeah.
Way more than that by the deadline.
Sure. Yeah, he'll be more.
And he'll be one of the highest captains as well.
Definitely.
Won't he?
Yeah, he will.
He'll be on the list of high captains. But if your ownership only gets to 30%, he's not going to be captained by all of that 30%.
Unless that 30% are all engaged managers and they all...
The thing is, when it's somebody like Solanke, they will be fairly engaged managers.
Yeah. Mm.
But yeah, I think there'll still be enough.
I think I'm going to do Solanke. Andoni Iraola's press conference, again, is key for us. I mean, Jules was talking about Kirkez before. There's a fitness doubt over Lloyd Kelly. If he's available, maybe there's a little bit of doubt over that pick. And Senesi, of course, is a huge one.
Oh, come on, everyone. It's just Captain Carlton Morris. Way more fun,
isn't it? I am going to love it if you Captain Carlton Morris.
Kind of want to do it for podcast purposes, but I don't know if it's the best decision for my team.
I don't see why it's a bad decision.
Hold on, you're trying to catch me. That's the reason you're saying it.
To be fair, if I had a spot in my front line that didn't involve selling Haaland or Watkins, I'd bring in Morris this week.
It's who the Emmanuel Dennis triple captain in a double game week.
Fortunately, I don't have my triple
captain.
Otherwise, you'd all be talking me into triple captaining Carlton Morris.
No, I wouldn't do that. But
Solanke's an option for triple captain.
Yeah, but what if you don't have him?
Then you buy him. Or... and you play your free hit. Or
is this a good week? Actually, we should mention that.
Yeah, we should. Yeah.
Is this a good week to triple captain if you still have it? Yeah.
But only Solanke.
Solanke.
The only option. Yeah.
Well, we said before he's against two of the three worst defenses in the league. Mm-hmm. His form is not perfect. There's that slight injury doubt as well, so maybe those two things count against him a little bit. And when you look ahead, I'd say if you I've got free hit and bench boost to play in the big double game weeks, then obviously you need to look at where you're going to use your triple captain. This seems like an obvious place, but if you don't have both of those two chips left and you do have triple captain, then maybe you want to save it for one of the other double game weeks when you could have a Liverpool Salah triple captain opportunity, a Manchester City Haaland opportunity, an Arsenal Saka opportunity in one of the double game weeks that's left, because those three teams are all likely to have doubles.
I am envious if you still have your triple captain chip, given what happened. I am envious.
Yeah.
We'll leave that there. Transfers. So Ian's bringing in Jarrod Bowen, or is he? Will he
Jarrod Bowen
again?
For Kevin De Bruyne, I think. And I actually wanted to keep De Bruyne for this game away at Liverpool. I just think he's at his best in the big games. Yes. I really do. But it'd be Foden that I'd be taking out rather than KDB for Jarrod Bowen. It's one of those two, because I'm not sure I want to have triple Manchester City attack away at Anfield. And Foden's form has been so good that
You can't sell Foden if you've got the both of them.
That's it, exactly. Yeah. So I think it's going to have to be very reluctantly for Kevin De Bruyne.
Sam?
I'm waiting on Neto news, because what happens with Neto will be quite telling with my transfer this week. It'll either be De Bruyne to Bowen, probably. Although I would really like to go to Sun, but probably to Bowen.
Going to go out Sun again.
But you're still making transfers, Sam, as if for players that are playing in 29.
Because I have to look at my team in two slightly different ways. So one is, if I free hit, then those players, weirdly, are still the players I want this week. It's still Sun or Bowen. Mm. And I'd still want to keep them for game week 30 anyway. So the actual free hit decision really makes no difference. If I'm playing through, I've got them, great. If I haven't and decide to free hit, then they're back in my team for game week 30 as well. So win-win. Mm. So it'll either be De Bruyne to one of those two or Neto to one of those two. Or I might go absolutely rogue and just sell the both of them and bring both of them in for minus four.
I'm looking forward to checking your team after the deadline, just like you're probably looking forward to seeing if I've captained Carlton Morris. Jules, what about you? Do you have any idea of your transfers?
So, one of Bowen or Morris.
He's scratching his head,
no,
by the way.
No, one of Bowen or Morris is going to come in. And
are you seriously
guess...
going to sell Haaland for Morris?
No, Darwin, probably.
Oh, Darwin. Yeah, makes a lot Darwin more sense.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, it makes Darwin a lot more week. Sense.
It's Kelly that's doing that.
Selling Haaland for Morris.
Still only Wednesday.
On that note.
What are you doing?
So Bowen or Morris, or maybe even both, who knows? I don't know.
Well, you might as well do it now, because you're going
to
take the hit anyway.
Yeah,
so
and if I take the
now.
Minus four for Morris, at least he's got two games coming up.
Yeah,
well, if
yeah.
you do it for Darwin, he's got three matches, Morris, exactly, whereas Darwin's got one against exactly, Manchester City.
You might as well do it now and then have them for the blank as well.
Exactly, and Bowen at home to Burnley makes a lot of sense.
Yep, minus four this week, minus four next week.
Rodri, for example, so yeah.
Okay. We'll have to wait and see what we all do, won't we? I've got a stressful 48 hours or so. The problem is we're recording this on Wednesday, so I've actually got even longer.
You've got an extra day to panic.
Oh,
yeah.
I feel
so how many 11:58s are there or whatever the sort of like time you normally panic over the next few days? You've got like four to get through in Tesco's car.
Well, I'm trying to work out where I'll be at 11 a.m. on Saturday.
Supermarket.
It used to be a lot easier because at least I was at work and I was like distracted by work.
But no,
but the
then, we,
I'm not
then we get those
Saturday.
Videos of you being really stressed,
no,
picking your team.
Stop that. I need to stop that. I've been saying that for years though. Anyway, on that note, on my stress, I don't want to increase the level. I was going to say reduce. I'd love to reduce them. I don't want to increase them anymore. And we have been rambling for quite some time. So that's where we will leave it. Thank you guys for all trekking, especially you, Ian, trekking all the way down here just for this, right?
I've enjoyed it, yeah.
It's good commitment.
It's great
thank you.
It's been great.
And
having
what
you
a week for you to come in as well.
Well
couldn't
helps.
Have timed it better.
The trains have been booked for a while, though. It's not just the last minute
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah. You
worst...
rang and said, I've gone above them.
The worst
I've gone above
is,
Sam, can I come in?
He's got to see me again on Friday. So I've got to do
the
show. Again.
Show together on
yeah.
Friday. Yeah.
Perfect timing.
You'll still
for
be
plug.
Behind him on Friday, just so
thanks,
you know.
Jules. I'm glad you've reminded me of that. Appreciate that.
So, as you've heard, Sam and Ian will be with you for the fantasy show on Friday morning. Your deadline for game week 28, as you heard, is 11 a.m, 90 minutes ahead of Manchester United versus Everton. But don't leave your team until then. I don't know who does that. Leave it till 10:58. It's stupid. A reminder once again, the FPL Pod mini league code is IB3WLK. You can also catch Off the Bench next Tuesday. Sam just loves talking about her team at the moment. She'll be back with Andy. Maybe she'll have had a better game week to talk about.
Oh, please.
They will talk you all the through all of the key talking points from the first 10 matches of game week 28. As always, thank you for listening. We do love a rating and a review, especially ones that say Ian's good.
Thanks, Sarah.
What about the rest of us? See you later, guys. Bye.